This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Hour number two, the Diehards right here. The Sports Map Radio Network, Patrick Gilroy alongside Jeff Hickman. And that comes out so easily, Jeff. I got to ask you this. Because I feel funny sometimes when we do a show and I'm in the one chair. For years, you were the number one. And then when you decided to raise your family and to focus on your career and took a step back from radio, I could no longer be a number two if I wanted to continue because, by definition, I needed to step into the one role. And I got decent at it and comfortable with it, and I wound up getting hired at EEI and other places as a one. Do you feel weird, though, after 15 years of being the one? Like, do you feel weird when I'm going to break and listen to the producer? You're one of the few people I've had in studio where the producer's in your ear saying, dude, you got to get out. You got 30 seconds. And you know what he said. You're listening. And I could see you itching at one point to say, shut up, Patrick. We need to get out. And is that the one in you?
It takes a lot of pressure off to sit in this seat in a lot of ways because now all I can do is just pontificate and make my comments, which is really fun. But at the same time, I absolutely miss being the one. I don't know why. It's where I'm most comfortable. My college radio career, the whole time I was doing it that way.
You had a team of people with you. So you were the number one, and you were navigating, what, four guys at a time?
Yeah, multiple. I mean, there were a ton of people on that show. So in retrospect, I always felt the most comfortable in a one chair.
Yeah.
But being in a two chair can also be kind of cool,
well,
you know?
Being in the one chair, you're the guy that's got to do the show prep and figure out, you know, who the guests are, where they're coming from, what to talk about. And as a guy that was in the two chair forever, it's great. You just sort of sit back and however the conversation goes, if you got something to throw in, you throw it in. If not, all the pressure is on the other guy.
It's true.
All right. We are the Sports Map Radio Network. We are the Diehards. Gilroy and Hickman. Hickman and Gilroy sitting in for Anthony Pepe. When we come back, I want to get to some football stuff with you, Jeff. We'll talk football. We'll talk some gambling with James Ross from BUSR.com. And we'll talk with you guys across the country, across the world, right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to The Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
It is The Diehards right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy alongside longtime co-host Jeff Hickman taking you guys up until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you know, for people that used to listen to us, and we were on for quite a while. So, and we got calls from all over the country. At once upon a time, believe it or not, Boston wasn't winning town, and we weren't the city of champions. The Celtics were amongst the biggest losers in the NBA. So, to have an outlet talking NBA and talking Celtics consistently, there are fans globally for the NBA and for the Celtics. And you know, we drew in those fans, and it was the very early days of internet radio. And we got calls from Australia, and we thought, oh, my God, is this really happening? Meanwhile, we can't get a call from 2 minutes down the street because the signal sucked. But that's a different story. All that being said, you know, we've been doing this for a long time and talked to people everywhere over the last 15-some-odd years. And I wish, in a lot of ways, that you had been able to stick around because those old shows would have been so appropriate right now. And whether it was through the Trump presidency, going into Biden, and the contrast in beliefs, even though you and I come from very similar middle-class backgrounds, the contrast in beliefs is staggering. It doesn't mean that we're not friends. We've always respected each other.
I just want to say, though, during my very last run with you, we were at an affiliate in New Hampshire.
Yep.
That was during the 2016 presidential race. And I just want to rub in your face.
I know you told. I know.
And let everybody know that I called it, even when there was a massive field of Republican candidates, that not only would Donald Trump win the nomination, but that he would become president.
Yes.
And I'm not saying it's great, you know, for all of you who hate him, that's fine. I'm not promoting any sort of politics here. I just want to be sure that they know that I called it correctly.
You were right. I was wrong about that one. And that's fine. It's always funny to me talking policy and politics and things like that with somebody like you. Now, it's one thing to do it with, let's say the owner of my company, 74 years old, he's a multimillionaire 100 times over, and he lives in the same town as I do. Clearly, he is a purebred Republican for a multitude of reasons, right? Fine. I know that going in. I respect it. I listen. He listens to me. It's a good back and forth, a good dynamic. But with you, you grew up in a very similar environment to which I did. Hardworking parents did the best they could for you and your siblings. And you grew up in a strict Republican atmosphere and family, I assume. And I grew up in a strict... Your parents were Democrats.
My dad was a diehard Democrat. He was
there
a union guy.
Yeah, so was mine.
Sure.
Yeah, fireman union, yep.
And to be completely honest, I don't necessarily identify as a Republican. I identify as a libertarian because socially... I'm completely liberal. You know, fiscally, I'm a lot more conservative. So that stuff to me, I don't need a label. I vote my conscience. I vote who I believe is going to be the best.
So
I voted for Barack Obama. So I'm not somebody who's completely out of, you know, left field. I know what I see.
Yep.
And like getting back to sports, what I see right now is these leagues dictating to states how they have to behave and how they have to operate in order for these sports to go on. The MLB movement of that game out of Georgia to Colorado makes zero sense if they really want to support the black community in Atlanta. It made no sense for them to move it out. So all those black-owned businesses, they take a financial hit. You move it from Georgia to Colorado, one of the whitest states in the country.
From one of the heaviest populated African-American places in the country, in Atlanta.
There has to be some level of working it out that could have been done. You can say what you have to say maybe during the game. Make sure you're making a statement if you want to make your statement. Whatever. I still don't necessarily agree with all of that in sports, but that's not up to me. However, when you pull the game and you boycott this and boycott that, you're hurting real people. There are real people at the other end of that, and all of those people aren't white.
And in fairness, Jeff, and it's hard because we're now at that age where we have to look back a little bit, and it's weird to be technically beyond middle age. You know, the average white male lives to, what, 77? That means if I make it another 41 years, I'll be 82. So I'm past the halfway point, as are you, based on the numbers. So we can look back. When you and I first started, we were in the infancy of blogs and of internet radio and things of that nature. So in the infancy of blogs, remember, legendary Boston sports broadcaster Glenn Ordway used to make fun of bloggers and really diminish them on the air. And now you've got all these bloggers making more money than newspaper writers. Their jobs are safer than newspaper writers. And really, that is the future. So then athletes is the next step with Twitter. Now you don't have to write 500 words, 1,000 words. Athletes got their platform with Twitter and with social media and with YouTube. And you know, you've got the Players Tribune, and it goes on and on and on. So you don't have to be a trained journalist to express your opinion to the masses and millions and billions any longer. So that's why these social issues really are striking a chord with athletes today, because for the first time in really the history of our existence as a people, they've got the voice and the platform to capture millions and billions of people, not just in their media market they play in, but globally.
And I don't begrudge them that. I want players to feel as though they have their voice and they can use it the way that they want. That said, boycotting is a totally different discussion. When we start talking about guys standing up or saying what they want, they have their platform on Twitter or Facebook or wherever they want to do that, or if they want to kneel for the anthem, though I don't agree with doing it, I support their right to do it. And these leagues taking on this political, you know, activism role.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I wanted to ask you. Last year, as part of the debate negotiation that the players union had with the NBA about coming back and playing in the COVID world, the COVID environment, and going to a bubble, leaving their families and isolating themselves in Florida for months at a time. They said, okay, we'll do this. We'll do it for you. You know, but in exchange, we want to be able to put Black Lives Matter on the court. We want to be able to take our last names off and put something we believe in on the back of our jerseys. And it became a thing. This year, all that's gone. I mean, that was temporarily supported by the league, but it wasn't something that was sustainable.
Yeah, and you want to know why?
Hold on. As a basketball fan, that was, I'm sure, the calendar turns to April, you're thinking playoffs. Meanwhile, there's no games on. As a basketball junkie, were you excited to see them come back last year, and did it turn you off once you saw how they came back?
No. So for me, it didn't turn me off. And for me, I was very excited to have it back because I love the game.
Yeah.
And I love the players. I don't care what their race is. I really don't. And if they have a grudge to sort of, you know, a bone to pick with the world, then they have the right to do it.
Yep.
I don't love it. I don't necessarily want to see it in every single sport all of the time, but it's their right.
Sure it is.
And so I can't – again, the libertarian in me says, your rights are your rights. The issues I have is when people say, well, we're not going to bring the NCAA tournament to your state because we don't agree with the politics here. And that, to me, is not fair. It's not right. And that's not proving anything. All that's doing is hurting people, both white and black. And you're hurting a large group when instead there should be a dialogue, there should be a conversation, and there should be some support for the community in which you were about to serve, which is Atlanta, Georgia. In MLB's case, they were serving a very heavily black community.
Yeah.
They should have found a way with those black business owners and black people in the community to work together to say, this is what we're going to do to make sure that our voices are heard in this voting law. We don't like it. These are the reasons why. But instead, they just up and move to a white state and leave all of those people behind.
And nobody takes that next step in the thought progression sort of process. And this is something that's always infuriated me. It's gone on forever. When you think about it, yeah, it was a story in the news for a week, the fact that they moved the All-Star game. Great. But now it's almost out of sight, out of mind. They're going to go to Colorado, go to Denver, whatever, have your All-Star game over there, and none of this will be mentioned. Meanwhile, if the All-Star game remained where it was in Atlanta, guess what? If they played it right, the story that they want to, whatever story they want to tell at that time, whatever message that they want to get across, could have been front and center because you could have negotiated it. You could have found a way, a certain amount of PSAs during the game, a certain amount of banners or electronic signage, something to make a statement.
How far does it go, Patrick? My question is, if you don't like the state that you live in, so let's say you're in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and for some reason the Bucks, and they had some issues there with the Jacob Blake shooting,
yep.
Right? So if you're in Wisconsin and you don't like one of the laws that just passed, are you going to stop playing the game of basketball? Are you going to turn your back on the franchise? Are you going to turn your back on the fans because you don't agree with the politics that are going on? The world doesn't have to be monolithic. This is my issue with everything, is that not everything is going to be monolithic. You're not going to get agreement on every single issue all of the time. And I realize that civil rights is a very serious issue where we should all agree that all lives matter, black lives matter, religious lives matter. Everybody matters. We can agree on that. The issue I have is when they start saying, but we're not going to go there because we don't agree politically with what you're doing. You know, they're not slaughtering African Americans in Georgia. There isn't a Holocaust going on. There are voting laws that are changing that require identification, which, by the way, is supported by almost the entire country. But they don't like the law. They have a right to their grievance.
Sure they do.
But don't penalize the very people of that state that you claim to support.
So you've got all these political issues going on. But I've always said, going back the 20 years we've been doing the show, and I say it almost every day at work, in no matter what situation we're talking about, perception is more important than reality a lot of times in life. And I truly believe that. And Jeff, as growing up as a Celtics fan, the perception was that Boston was a racist town, and we heard athletes, we heard primetime free agents say, we don't want to go there, because their belief was that Boston was a racist town. And even Kevin Garnett winding up coming here after he initially didn't want to go here and telling the whole world, it's not racist, I love it there, I bleed green, it still hasn't changed that perception. So everything you're talking about is great, and it's great in theory. Unfortunately, change is an entirely different story. and it's taken 100 years and Boston still hasn't changed their identity, I'm not sure that this country is ready to change theirs. And that's troubling. And it only means that every election is going to be 50-50, and these mask mandates, state by state by state, are going to be politically motivated instead of safety motivated, and it's just the world in which we live in. Acceptance is the key to happiness. That's what my therapist told me, Jeff. And I'm trying really hard to simply accept. My name is Patrick Gilroy. His name is Jeff Hickman. We are the Diehards right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
We are the Diehards right here. Sports Map Radio Network, Patrick Gilroy alongside Jeff Hickman. Taking you guys up until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Talked about a little bit of everything so far tonight. Lots of NBA. Some political talk, Jeff. Some COVID talk. And we have to lighten the mood here. Let's do some gambling talk with our guy from BUSR.com. Of course, if you guys want to check out BUSR.com, do it with the diehards. It's BUSR.com/the diehards. James Ross joins us now on the line. James, what's happening, my friend?
Good evening, guys. Well, after quite an expensive weekend of golf for me, I'm actually looking at this Jake Paul boxing fight against Ben Askren, the, of course, well-known mixed martial artist. I'm looking at that at the weekend, wondering whether that's the place for me to win my money back.
I'm glad you brought that up, because when you look at a fight like that, and you know, you've got a traditional boxer versus an MMA guy, and is there a tendency to sort of hesitate before you bet on something like that, where it's kind of an unknown?
It's a complete unknown, isn't it? And I've got to say, I think you're incredibly generous to call him a traditional boxer, Jake Paul.
As compared to his competition, you know what I mean? As compared, he's more of a boxer than his competition. But again, you know, I look at this fight, and I want to watch it for entertainment purposes, but I can't imagine, you know, laying serious money on something where I've got no evidence to back up what I'm doing.
Yeah, we have no previous data, nothing on Askren whatsoever, and we've got two fights from Jake Paul, one where he fought a social influencer and one where he fought a basketball player. But this time, he is actually fighting a fighter. Interestingly, like, Jake Paul is the big favorite. He's minus 195 now. Ben Askren is just drifting like an absolute barge, and I've been speaking to guys at other sports books, and they're seeing the same thing. No one's got any interest in Askren. It looks like Jake Paul's going to turn up and beat the hell out of him. And you've got to say, that would be an incredible embarrassment for, you know, a pugilist, a fighter like Ben Askren, to be able to go into any ring, whether, you know, it's not mixed martial arts, but it's boxing, to get beaten by a social influencer. It's a huge shock, but he's plus 165 and he's drifting like mad.
All right, this is the Diehards right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy, Jeff Hickman joining us on the line right now from BUSR.com, Mr. James Ross. And James, something that outside of the boxing world and golf world, but something that I've wanted to ask one of the gambling experts that we have on the program, and you are the gambling expert, is looking at the state of sports today, especially in America, the NBA, the NHL, their seasons are winding down. And as their seasons are winding down, you've got individual states beginning to lift mask mandates, beginning to lift occupancy rules throughout COVID. And nobody has said, okay, for the most part, except for the Texas Rangers, nobody said, we're going to open up our buildings to everybody, and we're going to do it without masks. And I'm wondering if one of these teams, be it the Milwaukee Bucks, be it a team like the Miami Heat, where right now Florida doesn't have a mask mandate, be it the Dallas Mavericks, where they don't have a mask mandate, what will that do to the gambling lines in a playoff series if one of the teams has got 20,000 rabid fans finally able to express themselves, and then they have to go into an empty arena in one of the states where the governor hasn't lifted the mandate, and they still have a 10% occupancy, so maybe the arena's got 2,000 people in it, maybe it's empty. It seems like an unfair advantage for one team over the other.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no way whatsoever with masks and with reduced crowds that there's any great atmosphere that would intimidate players, at, you know, at an away stadium. The biggest example of this is probably in the UK. Liverpool, my team, famous for their atmosphere at Anfield and, you know, came back from, you know, being 3-0 down to Barcelona. And 4-3 at Anfield 2 years ago. That was the crowd just cheering Liverpool over the line. Liverpool played Real Madrid in a similar situation last night, and they got a meagre 0-0 draw because they had no fans cheering them on. I think it's a massive, massive impact. It probably depends on what the sport is, but certainly in soccer, which I know a little bit better than American sports, the crowd factor, it's the 11th man, you know, it's the 12th man, it's a huge impact.
So let's separate the crowd portion of this for a second, and let's talk directly about the players. When you look at it, the NBA, for instance, in some cases the NFL, with COVID the way it is, guys missing games at the drop of a hat, you're also having all kinds of question marks about guys playing back-to-backs and load management and all this stuff. How difficult is it right now to profit betting in the NBA?
I actually think it's quite easy to profit if you're the better. I think it's a little bit harder for the sports book, if I'm honest, because, you know, sports books, we like to price these games up in advance. You know, if let's say it was a big NFL game on a Sunday, we want our prices out by Monday, Tuesday, and we want to be taking those parlays and big single bets all week. We don't want to have to be, you know, there will always be guys that have inside information before us. Physios and team members and, you know, families of players. So with all these injuries and these, you know, obviously, you know, COVID last minute affecting a team, could be 3 or 4 players out. That inside information is enough for the big guys to get their bets on and pull down the pants of sports books like mine. So we have to be extra defensive. This it suits the punters. It suits the gamblers. It doesn't suit the sports books one little bit.
We are the Diehards right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy, Jeff Hickman, hanging out with our guy, James Ross from BUSR.com. And James, correct me if I'm wrong here, but because I'm not the full-time host of this show, so Pepe sets this stuff up. I don't want to overstep here. But if people head on over to BUSR.com/the Diehards, are you giving away a $500 welcome bonus to those people?
Let me describe how we do this. We have a 20% welcome bonus. So, yeah, if you deposited $2,500 with us, we will give you a $500 welcome bonus. Or if you're not ready to do that yet, if you just want to kind of have a look at our website and maybe have a little bet, we'll give you a $20 free bet, completely free, no risk attached. Just join us following the link that you've mentioned there, BUSR.com/the Diehard, and we will just give you a $20 free bet to get you going. If you like us, stay with us.
So if we were going to place that $20 bet, let's say on a slate of games tomorrow in the NBA, have you got any recommendations, a stone-cold lock, if you will?
I need my mortgage paid, James. So don't.
It's $20, Patrick.
So give me a stone-cold lock that's going to pay a lot. I don't know.
Oh, I wouldn't dare tip to Americans and Englishmen here trying to pick an NBA line. Absolutely not. But the one thing I would say is after the disaster, well, I was going to say the disaster last week at the Masters, but God, how many players had a disaster that first day last week?
Yep.
We do have the RBC Heritage on. We've got Dustin Johnson there. He goes off the favorite at 10-1. He was awful. Of course, he didn't make the cut last week. Couldn't deal with the conditions whatsoever. Would he be the worst bet in the world to come back from the disaster he had at Augusta and win down there in South Carolina? I wouldn't rule it out. So if it was me and I had a $20 free bet, I'd probably try to turn it into $200 and spank it on Dustin Johnson at 10-1.
That's a good bet, Jeff. Remember, Dustin Johnson.
Got it.
When we're done tonight, write that name down. Real quick here, like 20 seconds or less. With COVID being what COVID was and people unable to travel the way they used to, Vegas wasn't the destination that it always has been. Looking at your website, it looks like there's a little bit of Vegas in an iPhone these days. So can people do more than just bet sports with you?
Oh, yeah, we've got racing, we've got sports, and we've got casino. If, you know, if you like blackjack, table games, slot games, we've got the lot. So, yeah, if you've got a quiet, boring weekend, nothing to do, and the wife won't let you get away to Vegas, yeah, you can play Vegas right here on our website.
Awesome. Awesome, man. I appreciate you taking the time, James. We'll catch up with you guys next week. Again, if you guys are interested, head on over to BUSR.com/thediehards. My name is Gilroy. His name is Hickman. We are the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation all the way up until 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here, the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
I've often said, especially when it's you and I, the off-air show would be a hit. It would be a hit.
The discussions are always good, and unfortunately, and this goes back to sort of what we were talking about before, by the way.
Yep.
The discussions that we have off the air, you can't talk about 90% of this stuff anymore. You can't say, you say one wrong thing and there is a mob at your door. They will burn your house to the ground. If you disagree with the wrong subject, if you say the wrong thing, if you call out the wrong person, forget it. You're done. And I did a blog for a long time. I mean, a
podcast. Well,
I did a blog too, but yeah, I did a podcast.
The Jeff Hickman podcast. By the way, you got super creative with that name. You were like, what can I say to capture the masses? I'm just going to call it the Hickman podcast.
It turned into the Wild World of Hickman podcast,
yeah.
But it, I did it for a while and I loved it and I enjoyed it. And then I realized that I'm putting myself out there so much that I am in detriment to myself.
Yeah. So many Facebook debates that started out with good intentions on both sides, but devolved into something much different by the end. By the 200th comment, the entire conversation had taken a wildly different turn.
Yeah, and look at what happened with Kevin Durant and Michael Rappaport.
Yep.
Look at what happened with even Luka Doncic coming out and saying, hey, I don't like the play-in tournament.
Yep.
You know, people just, they're ready to burn the entire league to the ground until someone else comes out and says it with him. Or it just, to me, I don't like the attack mob mentality of the media, of fans, of voters, of I want to be left alone. I want to be able to sit here, you and I, and have these conversations without the fear of some sort of retribution.
So why can you and I, who again, we've got different belief structures, and you know, in the commercial version of the show, we're just talking about, you know, my divorce and how I wanted to do it sooner than when I did it, but I couldn't dare to face my family, and it took my father tragically getting cancer and 6 months later passing away for me to grow the balls to get out of a marriage I was unhappy in, because I grew up as a good Catholic and went to Catholic school, and it was drilled into me my whole life. You don't give up on your marriage. You make a commitment to your partner and to God. It's a mortal sin. You're going to burn in hell. All of these things are what were going through my head, and believe me, after my dad passed away, then the next debate was, oh, crap, I love my dad, I miss my dad, and my faith tells me that when I pass away, God willing, in 40 or 50 years, I'm going to have the opportunity to spend more time with my dad. But if I get a divorce, am I taking that time away from me?
Well, you're not actually allowed to mention God, so you
I've already screwed up.
You have to steer away from that. The second you said God, there was somebody like drove off the road, you know.
The program director's getting phone
like,
calls
oh my
right
gosh.
Now. Somebody mentioned God on the air. But the point is, like, we all grow up differently, and the influences in our lives are the things that form who we are as adults. And you know, I grew up going to church every week and going to every holy day of obligation mass and Catholic school and the whole deal. I wouldn't say that I have made Catholicism proud over the years. I've made my fair share of mistakes and certainly turned my back on the church more than once. But the pressure from your family that at that point is like, you know, they're on their back nine and they're thinking, okay, I raised my kid right, Catholic school, the whole deal, college graduate, he's making me proud. You want to make your parents proud and you don't want to let them down. So again, it was almost freeing when I lost my dad to be able to make that decision on my own, Jeff, but that came with a certain amount of guilt. And that's the world in which we live in. where we're always worried about what other people are going to think and say. And I find it so interesting that because you and I started doing this prior to the world changing the way that it has now, we developed a certain comfort level having these discussions. Very rarely does it get personal. It really doesn't. Even when the show's over, like, we're like, good show, man. You know, if the show goes by quickly, great show. And then we're done. I'll text you tomorrow when the Celtics lose or win, and you know, we maintain our friendship and call it a day. It doesn't become a thing day to day. But for the majority of the world now, especially for, I'm scared for our kids, your kids, my kids, what it's going to devolve into in the next generation is something else. I mean, debate is healthy. The reason why there were Republicans and Democrats to begin with was so that opposite views could come to the same table and hammer out something that worked for everybody. That was what our forefathers wanted, and that's not what it's become.
No, and I think, unfortunately, and bringing this back to the sports argument, is that when you are allowed to speak your mind, people are also allowed to criticize what you say. And it goes both ways. If there are people that don't like kneeling for the anthem, and there are people that take offense to it, then when you kneel for the anthem and you make your statement, you have to allow that person who is offended by what you're doing to have their moment to say what they say. You don't have to agree with it. Frankly, you don't even have to really hear it. But if you do hear it, you can't then turn around and say to that person, well, you're a racist and don't care about black lives. On the other side of that, you can't say that the people that are kneeling don't care about soldiers and those who have fallen for the name of the flag. My issue is people are taking everything to a level that you can't have civil discourse about anything.
No.
And if you take just the slightest word out of context, people can be thrown to the wolves so fast nowadays, and people literally gone, disappeared. Entertainment, you know, you think of the people in entertainment in Hollywood.
Matthew McConaughey can't get a job right now because he supported Trump.
Right.
All right, that is, he was the biggest A-lister going over the last 20 years. I mean, he could name his own price, constant A-list movies, the biggest movie star on the planet. He's stuck doing Doritos commercials as a flat person in a vending machine these days.
Well, and again, I think, you know, let's talk about the fact that people running around saying that the election was rigged and it wasn't real. And those people are being called kooks and bad for the country and all this other stuff because of what happened on January 6th. And what I'm saying is, despite the fact that you don't agree with the pillow guy, like he's the biggest threat to the universe, the guy that makes pillows, hit that guy, you have to take him out of stores because he believes the election was fraudulent. Okay? But that's what he believes. I don't think he's right. I don't support his endeavors.
But does the MyPillow guy respect the fact that 50% of the people think the election was real? So that goes both ways. And so it's not like one side can't take it and the other one can. Both sides are equally infantile.
If he believes that those people are foolish, or whatever word you want to use,
yep,
it doesn't affect their pockets. He's getting boycotted because he believes what he believes.
Oh yeah.
And it all goes
great
back
pillows
to the
on
same
clearance
thing
right now everywhere.
And this is my whole point,
yep,
is just that I don't believe that we try to hurt businesses because there are people employed there. And I'm sure that all the people that are employed there are not necessarily white. He's from Minnesota.
Yeah.
There's a heavy black population in Minnesota.
Sure is.
So my point is I hate to see people say, well, you know what? I hate this guy's politics. Not only am I just not going to abstain from buying the product, which of course is fine, and that's your right as an American,
mm-hmm,
but then we have to collectively come after him. Retailers have to get rid of his product. You can't buy it, and if you do, you're a racist.
Yep.
It's an attack mob. It is an attack mob, and that's what I don't want to see happen to our sports.
But it's happening.
But exactly.
So, and you've brought up, and I know that we don't have all the time in the world, and this is the time in which we had a four-hour show without commercials, because we could do this forever, Jeff. Some of our best shows have been shows like this, but you look at you brought up the entire thing with the country and the kneeling at the anthem more than once tonight. So I know that hits home for you. I know where you stand on that. I'm not going to get into a debate over the politics of it or the reasons why certain people feel like it's an okay thing to do. look, in my opinion, in this country, absolutely, they've got the right to do it. That, ironically enough, the people that are saying that they're insulting the flag are the people that fought for their right to kneel. So there's a certain amount of irony in this whole thing. The biggest mistake that entire movement made was having Colin Kaepernick head the platform and head the movement. He didn't have the articulation skills to go out there and express what it meant, why he meant what he meant, and what the entire movement was about. And I think of a guy, and I heard him last night, Jaylen Brown, two nights ago, sorry, wouldn't take questions in the post game because of the most recent African-American kid being killed by a white police officer. And he's so articulate, and no matter where you stand on the entire issue in this country, you have to stop and listen to what he's saying because he articulates his feelings so well. And he's the first one to say, these are my opinions. These are my thoughts. I'm not telling you this is how you need to think. But he articulates his points. And by the end of the 60-second clip, you know where the dude stands.
And why can't more athletes have that same mentality? Because they have to understand there are going to be people that may disagree with their assessment. I don't know a single person that thought that Jacob Blake should have been shot and killed. I don't know of a single person that thought George Floyd should have died the way he died. I don't know of a single person that thought this kid, DeLon Wright, I believe I'm saying his name and I'm sorry if I'm not, should have been killed. I don't think anybody thinks that. I really don't. Now, I could be wrong, and that's a big generalization. But everyone that I know, white or black, because I do have black friends.
Of course you do.
They don't believe he should have been killed. So just because I might disagree with a mass generalization that all cops are racist doesn't make me, in fact, racist.
No, I get it. But then making matters worse is Jalen Rose. And Jalen Rose has a giant platform. He's got millions of Twitter followers. He's on ESPN. He's got a giant platform. And when he speaks, people listen because he captures so many people in a matter of 60 seconds, right? And he comes out, he's very articulate as well. And now he makes his money using his articulation skills. But he comes out today and he says, look, the fact is the only thing that's changed since Jim Crow laws are the fact that we've got social media and cell phones and cameras with us at all times. Meaning this stuff has been happening forever. But it's finally being caught on film for the world to see. He goes, as African Americans, we've been seeing it the entire time. We've known what's been going on the entire time. But most people go on with their lives, they duck their heads, they ignore it. Now they're not allowed the privilege of ignoring it because somebody has shot it with a cell phone. So before we go to break, my question to you is the country better off in the long run because of the advent of these little phones in our pockets that also double as cameras and double as camcorders and give us access to millions of people through social media? Or is that what's driven us down this road where we're so divided?
Well, I think it's all about the media and the controlling of the narrative. When you have companies like Facebook and Twitter clearly donating and being in the tank for a political party, that's where I have issues. I don't believe that those companies should be allowed to do that kind of thing. Why? Because I don't believe that businesses should be taking side on politics. And then when they're the biggest platform for sharing information in the world, that they get to control the narrative.
Well, if they're a single owner business, I agree with you 1,000%. But when they are a publicly traded business and they put it out there to the public, essentially, the public owns Facebook, the public owns Twitter. They're traded every single day. So does that change things a little bit for them? Because you can't have one person at the helm sort of making those calls, making those decisions. It's going to be something that's good for everybody. So isn't it better for everybody to eliminate? I guess you're right, because if you eliminate the lies on one side and allow the lies on the other side, then you're really only fanning the flames some more.
That's exactly my point,
yeah.
Is that it's unfortunate. And I agree with Jalen Rose's assessment that we're getting our eyes open to things that maybe we did not see before. And that's great. But again, if the control portion of that is in the hands of some very powerful corporations,
yep,
and they are clear, if you saw the social experiment or whatever it was called on Netflix,
yep,
you're seeing how these things are being conditioned for literally brainwashing people full of things. And I'm not saying that that's what's going on in the community, the black community specifically, but what I'm saying is there are issues that are being blocked, they're being misdirected. Jason Whitlock just had some problems where his account got shut down for a very simple assessment. These kinds of things are a problem because it's funneling to your daughter who, you know, would be sitting at her computer and scrolling Facebook, doesn't know the politics necessarily of everything. I'm not to say that she's not smart.
No, but I get it. At 14 years old, you can't possibly understand the background, the politics, and all the little idiosyncrasies that go into this discussion.
But it's the complete control of the information. And that's, to me, what bothers me the most, is that my kids are being fed what the Facebooks and the Twitters want them to see, and that only. And to me, that is a very questionable business practice.
Yeah, and to think it all started 12 years ago with the Obama phone lady. And you know, she wound up becoming one of the first YouTube stars. And here we are now, 12 years later, from Obama phone to where we are now. It's a complete mess. My name is Patrick Gilroy. His name is Jeff Hickman. We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. When we come back, I'm going to tell you guys one reason why you need to go ahead and log on to Rocket Mortgage. We'll do that when we come back right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
As the random female voice told you, we are presented by Rocket Mortgage, hour number two of the program, brought to you by our friends at Rocket Mortgage. When you guys need certainty in your home buying process with a mortgage that fits your life, never forget that Rocket can. Jeff, I don't know whether I should be happy or sad. I feel like we just had our second quality show in a matter of 5 days. I'm getting used to seeing your face again. I enjoy seeing your face. I enjoy the sexual tension that comes in the room when you walk into a room, Jeff. You are, you know, Mr. Sex, and that's who you are. And now that I've got Hickman back in my life, I'm not ready to say goodbye.
Well, I appreciate that. The addiction is real.
The addiction is real. Hopefully you guys will hear Hickman and Gilroy again here on the network sometime relatively soon. My name is Patrick Gilroy. His name is Jeff Hickman. We are the Diehards right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. I know you guys are all missing Anthony Pepe. He'll be back with you guys on Monday night for another exciting week of the Diehards with Pepe and his many friends. My name is Gilroy. His name is Hickman. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.